For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Madonna Hines, Mia Hansen Aloha, Christy Dougherty, Just Sayin', Kelly Barlow, and Cindy Gerson. We love you girls. Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old Southern Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelorette Roast. Check that out on iTunes everywhere you can. And I'm here with the lovely and talented Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie.
How are you, baby?
I am so great. It's Friday. I'm ready to jump into this weekend. I think I'm supposed to be doing something this weekend. I don't remember what it is, but it'll be fun. I'm sure it will be.
Yeah, I've not even planned. Last weekend was so taxing on my brain that I figured this one I would just let happen.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
If that means watching Leftovers all over again by myself and sobbing, then I'll do that.
I think I'm going to, this weekend, I might play some video games. I got this new game called, well, the game is not new, but it's new to me. The game came out 5 years ago. It's called Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. It's so fun. It feels like you're playing a movie.
Drake's Deception.
Yeah. And by the way, and it's weird because this Drake character is like hot. I'm like, I don't like being attracted to a video game character.
They're making feels them so real strange. Now.
Yeah. And Drake is hot. And then he has like a mentor. I don't know. I don't remember the mentor's name. He's like older, but there's like a whole, there's a whole big like flashback sequence. That's like a whole board. And the mentor, when he's younger, is like crazy hot. I'm like, this is so wrong. This is a video game. I should not be attracted to my video game characters.
Yeah, well, at least it's not like Homer Simpson or something like those stupid, you know, porn gifs people are all grossly sending around. I really don't need to see Fred Flintstone have sex with Barney, okay? I don't know who's into that kind of crazy stuff, but please don't post it on the internet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not nice. We're all on the internet. Let's only post nice things. Just kidding.
And if you're going to do some sort of cartoon gay porn, like, make it interesting. Have it like George Jetson and Fred Flintstone, like from two different times, you know, sharing experiences, making love.
Yeah, guys. It's all about love making. Okay, so speaking of, here we are with Southern Charm Savannah. Speaking of sock dreams.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Southern Charm Savannah. Wow. So last week was the dinner party from hell, you know, poor person style, like Savannah style.
Yeah.
And it continued into this week. And then it got grosser and grosser. But I have to say, in a more and more fun way. I don't know why. Yes. I really like it.
Yeah. I feel like the show is finally clicking. I actually really do. I was enjoying it. I actually enjoyed this episode more than Classic Southern Charm this week.
Yeah, Classic Southern Charm had a slower week.
Yeah, it was very, very slow. No one's really popping off on Classic Southern Charm. Classic Southern Charm needs Catherine to fall off the horse, unfortunately. But this one, they're starting to become. They're getting angrier at each other, and their personalities are coming out. And I'm starting to make more distinct. I'm starting to develop more distinct opinions about certain people. For instance, like Louis. He's getting really annoying. He's actually becoming terrible.
Really? I love Louis. I'm in love really, with Louis.
Because I thought in the beginning of the season, I was like, oh, Louis seems so nice. But now he's just like very, he just keeps saying obnoxious things.
I like that in a man. Go figure.
Well, he gets his comeuppance. Hashtag hot old chicken salad. Oh. So, so we start off at that dinner party and, and Daniel is still taking Nelson to task for saying the Yiddish N-word. And once again, Lyle is saying, Nelson, that's almost racist.
I love Nelson. Almost.
So Daniel's like, that's a derogatory term. And then they show Nelson's face and he's going, he's just making this like snitty little face.
WTF.
Also, I have to point out that I didn't notice this last week when Happy goes, yeah, but here we are talking about this past of a BS and says it in quotation marks. You're the one saying it, Happy. So
yeah. WTF, who's friends with Trump? That's what that stands for, right?
Who Trump friends? So Nelson is doing that thing that sometimes smart people do where when they're in trouble, they'll just start using really big words to try and throw everybody off.
In this case, one big word over and over again.
But he doesn't do it very well. So he's like,
well, what I think is crazy and egregious is you're quoting me in my own home.
And they're like, this is not your home.
And are you not allowed to quote people when they're in their house? Like when you enter someone's house, it's a no quote zone. Like, ah, oh, Nelson was so racist, but he did it under his own roof again. Damn it. It's off
Ronnie
the record,
said, Ronnie said that he was going to murder someone, but I can't say who because it was in his house. It's like, it'll never be allowed into a court of law. Like
that is egregious. That is egregious.
And he goes, what you allegedly state is racist, that particular word, I didn't even know was anything bad. And your grandma said it all the time. You want to criticize her? Egregious grandma! Like,
and she said it at the retirement home, which is not officially her house. I can't quote her in her house there.
I love that he throws, like, your grandma's a racist in there before letting them move on. You see, he's not that dumb, this guy.
No,
so Happy then suddenly pretends to
And by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt. A follow-up to what last week we were talking about, how someone emailed us and suggested that maybe he has Asperger's. And then several behavioralists were like, no, he does not have Asperger's.
He just has. He's just an Asperger.
Yeah, he's just an ass.
Yeah. So he's I'm sorry. So he starts saying Happy. Now they're talking about racism, right? So Happy starts pretending to cry, which is shut up, Happy. Shut up.
Yeah. She starts crying and Nelson's starting to try to excuse himself by saying things like, you know, sometimes someone can say things in a metaphorical sense, but it won't offend you. Like, you know, like sometimes if you say the N-word, it's actually like a really good thing. You know, it's like a happy thing. It's like I used to say instead of getting a happy meal at McDonald's, I used to get an N. They're like, Nelson, please stop. Don't substitute the N-word for a happy meal.
Well, if I ever stated it the way you said, I mean, sometimes people can say things in a metaphorical, allegorical sense.
Yeah. Metaphorical, allegorical.
Yeah. Egregious, egregious, egregious.
And Lyle goes, metaphorical, allegorical.
Metaphorical, allegorical, Nelson. What are you talking about?
Happy still can't cry, but she's still trying really hard. And so Ashley sees it and she goes, oh, Happy, you okay? And Happy's like, And so
Ashley does that really showy thing. Right. Where she's crying. I'm going to stand up and go over and give her a kiss and a hug, which is actually really nice. But it's like something like showy at the same time.
Yeah. And she goes over there and stands and kisses her. And she's like, I love you. You need to understand. I love you. Shut up. All of you shut up. But in the most amazing way. It's so good. So then Ashley tells us, you know, I love Nelson, but shut up sometimes. Just shut up. A lot of the South, they still have this plantation mentality of the haves and have-nots. I'm like, guess who else has that? The world. Like, how are you going into haves and have-nots? This is about blatant racism and bad words. It's just like, you know, some people look down on marshals. It's like, that's not what we're talking about, Ashley. And then Asm speaks. Someone told me.
Oh, we've been mispronouncing his name, by the way.
How is it?
I don't remember, but someone was like, this is how you pronounce it. And then I lost the tweet, and now I don't know. But so we're going to miss. We're mispronouncing his name by accident.
I think it's okay? Asm. And Asm, he goes, now, wait a minute. You've offended my fiance, and the things you say, they don't make sense. And Nelson's like, egregious, metaphorical, allegorical. He's like, that does not make sense. No,
egregious. I'm going to say Azam and you say Asm. This way we're covered. We're going to hedge our bets. And he's like, for God's sake, you never stop talking. Egregious. Egregious.
Because you're talking about racism in the allegorical sense. Just stop talking right now.
Yeah. He's getting so mad. He's like, fuck this guy. Fuck him in the ass. Get him out of here.
And he's already got to listen to Happy, because you know Happy's just all dramatic. And so now Happy is finally having her monologue. She's like, you don't live this. I love him, and you don't understand. And Nelson goes, this isn't about you. Your relationship.
Like, but I haven't had my dinner yet.
And then the gay, who now I like. Brendan the gay. I did not like him at first, but now I love him because he's just calling everybody out. And he goes, what is it that you go through?
Yeah.
He's like, is this the Jewish N-word again? Because I'm confused. And she goes,
people like him judging me and my relationship with a different kind and color and skin. I see the person I love, even though everybody talks about his skin.
Happy. No one has fucking talked about your husband's skin except you. Every time you open your fucking mouth, you're talking about your boyfriend's skin, and you're on your mom's ass trying to make her look like a racist on TV, trying to do anything you can to get an award for dating a fucking guy who's not white. Get over it.
Yeah. So then Azam starts saying, it's like, you know, sometimes we go to the airport and we get put in different security lines. It happens all the time. And then Nelson goes, that's egregious. It's like, please stop saying that word, Nelson. Please stop saying. You can say, like, that's rude, it's offensive, well, like, racial profiling is terrible, but please stop saying egregious.
And also, people get separated in lines all the time at the airport. I saw a 74-year-old lady try to go through the thing, and he said, are you 75? And she said, yes. And he looked at her ID and said, no, you're not, you're 74. Go over there. They separate people based on a lot of different things. And I'm not saying racism doesn't exist. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. But these two are taking something. They're taking a racist word used against black people in the Jewish or in the Yiddish dictionary or whatever. And everybody's now going to use it for their own thing. Everybody makes it about themselves. And
well, I mean, I don't think that they're. I don't think they're totally without merit, because they are an interracial couple, and he is not white, and he probably has had to deal with like the brunt of that in Happy's family, etc. So I don't think it's totally off base, but I do agree that there was some co-opting of the moment, you know. I understand his frustrations with being like racially profiled at the airports. My frustration is mainly just that Nelson can't stop saying egregious or the Yiddish N-word. You gotta expand your vocabulary.
The conversation is about Nelson using a bad word for the N-word, and everybody's making it about their own thing. Like, it's well, just
Lyle
making
has
me
the, that. Lyle has the best sense. He goes, I want to leave. Are we done with this? I want to leave this party right now, please.
Well, Ashley, of course, is like, well, I totally understand using a random topic to cry about your own issues. So I love you, Happy. Okay? I know what it's like to be judged, too. Okay, so now Ashley's going to start.
At the airport. Yeah.
People judge me because of my skateboard all the time. You know, in the South, people just think that skateboards and cars are, you know, two totally separate things. And it's not fair. It is not fair, Happy.
So then everyone leaves, and Catherine goes and speaks to Nelson outside to be like, you know, like, listen, like, to either smooth things over or try to talk some sense to him. And he's like, does this make me racist? Hail them, bro!
I like when Lyle was on his way out, and he goes, well, Nelson. And Nelson goes, haven't you said enough? And he said, well, I mean, Professor, that's egregious. And he leaves. He says egregious again. So yeah, Catherine chases him, and he says the hell damn no thing. And she goes, now, you know, stupid Catherine's like staring off into space half the time. She's like, all I'm trying to say is, I forgot, actually. What was I trying to say? He's like, I'm not a racist. Now, that is like saying, if I said that. She's like, please just stop talking. He's like, people are just jealous. You know, people do not like when other people have more money than them. They are jealous of the rich white man. She's like, oh, my God, please stop talking. Please.
Yeah, he goes, everybody's always going to hate the independently wealthy. Nelson, they're just going to hate the assholes. The racist assholes. Or at least the assholes who say racist things. That's usually what it's going to be. So then, but meanwhile, Louis and Lyle are with Daniel. And, you know, Daniel is talking about how, you know, annoyed, it really offended him. And Louis is like, why do you like being the martyr all the time? Which is really, like, such a condescending thing. Like, this guy said the N-word in Yiddish, and Daniel's like, that rubbed me the wrong way. Like, leave it.
No,
to,
that's
like...
not what Daniel said. Daniel was like, you guys don't understand. Do you understand what the debtor's club is? And well, I'm an outsider, and blah, blah, blah. And
No. But he said that after, he said the debtor's club after the martyr thing. You know,
he said,
but...
you don't know what race, he said, you don't understand racism, you don't understand what it's like.
Right. So, okay, so even if he said that, it still is, like, the classic... It's like the, it's honestly, it's like the classic like white guy response. You're such a victim. I mean, it really is. So when he says, why do you like being the martyr all the time? It's just like massive eye rolls. Okay. So you're not listening to what he's saying. You're instead just going to like impugn him for being a martyr, which he really wasn't being a martyr. He was just like being like, you're not hearing it, you know?
Well, so I think being one of the only Jewish people in town obviously is a huge thing. And he's explained it. And I'm sure they've heard it a million times. My thing is, like, again, it's co-opting. Everybody starts co-opting it for their own thing, and he changes it to his grandparents, and I think Louis's just sick of hearing it.
Well, I don't think Daniel co-opted. It was his issue that he brought up. It was his own issue, and he was like, you said that, and it actually really rubbed me the wrong. I thought it was racist. I can't say those things. That was what he was saying, and then everyone's like, oh, well, da, da, da. And it's like, no, it's like it's fucked up to say that. You know, when you're an outsider, like, you don't really know what it's like to be an outsider. And when you are, it's like you have to deal with this shit. And it's, like, not cool. It's like, oh, you're such a martyr. That's how it read to me. And, like, maybe they have heard it before, but maybe they haven't been listening, you know?
Well, he starts talking about the debtors' club, some club his grandpa or father couldn't get into. And Lyle's like, oh, yeah, you're a real outsider. You're lame. And Louis's like, get over yourself, dude. You're such a pussy. Own it, baby. And he goes, well, yeah, but knowing your club won't let me in. And this is so bad because you don't know the truth of any of this. So it's like, you don't know how, I don't know how ignorant I'm being right now. But when Louis said this, it was funny because he goes, Daniel says, you know, he's always saying that he can't get into a club because he's Jewish, but there's boards and he rubs people the wrong way. It's like he doesn't take,
you know,
a bath.
On account of his menorahs and dreidels and such. It's not because he's Jewish. It's just that he's all, you know, like he's got that big nose. He loves bagels. You know, it just rubs people the wrong way. Well. That's what that was code for a little bit.
Well, for me, it was code for he's a hippie who refuses to take a bath, shave, or control his mouth. And he, like,
well, it could be that.
We've seen how, but that's what he's saying. He's saying,
yeah,
he thinks, no, I know, he's Jewish, but he's saying, but it's really because he can't behave himself with a board, you know?
Right. Now, I actually understand that, and we don't know where the truth is on that. So, you know, it is weird, but, you know, at the same time, it's a weird situation because it's like the Deep South and not a lot of Jews around there. And there are clubs and there are country clubs that do not allow Jews in to this day. And there were a lot around where I grew up. It's not an unheard of thing, you know?
Well,
so
let me just say this because I'm all over the place. And this is basically what I'm trying to say. What bugs me about all of this is what they started off with was very real. You can't just walk around using language like that. It's not cool. It's ignorant. And it's fucking racist. You just can't do that. And even if you don't think you're racist, by thinking it's not a big deal, you are fucking racist, okay?
Yeah.
Period. So when everybody tries to co-opt that and play their own victim card in any fight, but especially this one, it waters down the original point.
Right.
You know, it's like it's not about all this other stuff. And now Nelson is off making it about stuff. And now everybody else is making it about stuff. And that diminishes the original point, which you cannot say shit like that. It's racist. So that's what I'm saying. Like all this stuff with Daniel, I'm not denying that he has any trouble. What the fuck would I know what that's like? You know, I've never lived that life. And I'm certainly not doubting that he's had issues or that happy. I come from a Lebanese and white lady family. I get that, you know, from Texas. I get it. I'm just saying it's not the same.
Well, yes, I think in certain ways you're right. Like it's annoying when people co-opt other people's issues. It's, you know, appropriate, perhaps, buzzword. You know, that is annoying. But I think what we were seeing was someone like Nelson who was not understanding really why what he did was wrong. It was good that he said, I won't do it again, you know, but he didn't really understand what was truly wrong, which is why everyone was like, you don't understand. These things, they hurt. they like even us as, you know, like even though my fiance is Muslim, he's not black. It's that mentality that hurts. Even though I'm Jewish, you know, and I'm not black, it hurts because we're an outsider and you don't really realize how harmful this language is. And if someone's not getting it, it's easy to try to be like, let me show you through my personal experience. Maybe I can illustrate it better for you, you know? So it's like a little bit of a mix. I think on the one hand, yeah, there is some co-opting happening, which is, I think some people are relishing and making it their own thing. But it's not totally without reason. And the reason why I got annoyed with Louis's reaction to Daniel is because, you know, when you are an outsider, you know, I mean, look, we're two gay guys. We're outsiders in that way. Imagine if you're trying to explain gay marriage or something. It's like, oh, you're always such a martyr. You know, it's like it's really such a condescending response. If you've heard it a million times, chances are you haven't been listening. Not even though I know I said that earlier, and I'm not trying to sound all like Oprah with it, but chances are if you got the message, it wouldn't have to be repeated over and over again. You know, so like, you know, the martyr thing is an easy way to just sort of deflect kind of emotional responsibility to say like, you know what, I don't have to listen to this because you're just being a martyr. So therefore, anything you say is almost invalidated. Now he might be being a martyr. He might be a martyr, but who cares if he's being a martyr, right? You know, because if he might have something that's important to say. So that's where I sort of stand. I agree with you in certain ways, but I also I don't necessarily I guess I'm not rolling my eyes quite as much as you.
Yeah, I was definitely. Yeah, it makes sense. I was eating a French fry.
You're always such a fucking martyr with your French fries.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It makes sense. Yeah. So anyway, Louis is well. Yeah, I mean, I've already said mine, so I don't want to like go. You know, just like
go back and forth.
Go back and forth. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it. It's just in this situation, it starts off with Happy, and she's not even really crying, and she keeps mentioning it over and over, and it's almost like. To me, sometimes I feel like people roll around in their victimhood and it doesn't help. It's almost like it's proud. There's like a certain pride in it. You know, like people explaining gay marriage all the time. Yeah, mm-hmm. You don't have to explain it all the time. But we all know the people who are just so over the top that every little thing is like, that is anti-gay and that is this and that. We all know those people who are just every day it's something. Someone has offended them.
Yeah.
They're a victim every fucking day with every fucking situation, and it gets on my nerves. So when I see someone like fake crying like Happy and trying to turn someone else's situation into something about her just because she doesn't like Nelson, you know?
Right.
I mean, but that's how I see her particular situation, not the whole world necessarily.
No, I know. But I mean, there are definitely people who just make themselves the victim. I mean, look at what Ashley did when Ashley and Hannah had her fight a few weeks ago about the stupid strip golf. Like there are definitely people who will turn things around and make them the victim. And they're like, this is how it affects them. But I would argue in this case, when you're talking about use of the N-word, even in Yiddish, it's like it's understandable if that has more of an impact than if, you know, than like some random, you know, sort of minor sort of civil rights issue happened. And then like someone was like, you know, like, oh, my
and
God, they shut down. Something
there's
else.
Also people who are just rolling around in the like everybody's a pussy kind of mentality. Like, we were reading tweets from this guy on The Bachelorette who's, you know, they went through his tweets
and there's so many shitty things.
And that is a very typical mentality. Someone who's like, they're out there waving the gay flag. How about the American flag? Like, you idiots. Like, you know?
It's not about that. Yeah.
It's not about Black Lives Matter. What about all lives matter? You know, it's like you're not getting it. You know, so that's something, too, that people roll around in. We're like, everyone's just a pussy, and I don't want to be that guy either. I mean,
I get more mad if people co-opt in that way. Like, if someone were to say, get up there and say, you know, Black Lives Matter, and then someone says, well, we all lives matter. That's the sort of like, well, what about me that I don't like? But I don't mind if someone's shows how it, like, you know, how racism in one area actually affects all of us, and not saying all lives matter, but like racism in general is bad. And here's an illustration of how it is, you know, with us too. And you just can't have that language. It's a fine line. And for me, it wasn't crossed, but perhaps for you, it was.
Well, I can guarantee you that we just talked more deeply about this than anybody who's on this show ever has or ever will.
Yes. I guarantee, especially probably Catherine, who's like, oh, look, my fingernail.
No, so, no matter what side you stand on, you've got some point there. You understand way better than any of these idiots.
Yes. So now we leave the racial tension for a moment, and it's 36 hours before Hurricane Matthew hits, and it's like time for evacuations. Everyone's like leaving. Ashley is evacuating her house, and she's evacuating her fish, who's named Michael Collins, which is kind of funny. She's got this big old fish tank. She puts it in the back seat with like a seatbelt around it. I'm like, how is this fish going to survive this? How much water is going to slosh out of that bowl before they get to the interstate? There's no way Michael Collins is surviving the hurricane. You might as well just like put him in the middle of the street, let him, like, the rain will fill up and let him go off and swim into the hurricane waters.
And I love that they showed the dad packing up her skateboard. God forbid she doesn't have her skateboard in a town they're fleeing because of a hurricane.
And I also loved how she was evacuating to Augusta and everyone else was evacuating to Charlotte. And, you know, she'd be like, I'm being ostracized by the evacuees.
Only Augusta understands me. So Catherine calls, she calls Ashley, and she's like, last night went south kind of fast, and it might behoove us to have a chat outside the You want to meet up real quick? And now she's like, okay, husband and son, just go ahead and leave without me. I have to shoot a scene. I'm like, you are the worst. Like, you won't even drive with your husband.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, Catherine was smart. She's like, I'm going to confront Ashley, but I'm going to do it right before a hurricane hits. That way we have a hard out. Like, once the siren starts, we have to end the scene.
Exactly. Once a cow passes us, you know, flying in the air, we're done. Second tornado joke today, or twister joke.
Yeah, this week.
So Catherine's also very smart, and she knows how to deal with drama queens.
Mm-hmm. She really does.
Which I liked in this scene. But first, what do we have? Lyle, Dan, well, first, Lyle, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
The guys are on the road. They're driving up to Charlotte, and because as it happens, Louie has a sock party at a bar planned anyway for this weekend or whatever. So it all works out well. They're all going to go up to the sock party, and they're driving up the interstate and talking about who gives more blow pops. Is it Catherine or Hannah? I'm like, please just let's stop. Please stop this line of questioning.
I like that the South is just as slutty as everywhere else, but they say things like blow pops ain't smooched. But they act all innocent. You're just using baby words, okay? You're making it grosser.
Yeah, exactly. Who gives more pacifiers, huh?
Who gives more blow pops, Catherine or Hannah? And Louis's like, definitely Catherine. So the meeting with Ashley and Catherine on a park bench, because where else are they going to meet here?
Yeah, always a bench.
Yeah.
It's like some Ingmar Bergman movie.
They've already used the Joe's Crab Shack on both sides of town. So here we are. Catherine's like, you look nice. Look at you. So pretty. And she's in overalls. And so Catherine starts laughing because obviously she was being sarcastic. And Ashley's not laughing back. So she says, last night was a lot for everybody. And I didn't appreciate the allegations you were saying. And Ashley's like, well, I was getting bombarded by crazy rumors, and some of the stuff that was said was really hurtful. Like the Delta.
It was like being in the middle of five different baggage chutes, and all the bags were coming down all at once.
It was like being a little boy putting his finger on the baggage tray and then getting it twisted off when the baggage started going around in a circle.
It was like I went and sat on my bag on the baggage carousel, and then when I went under the black flaps and thought it'd be awesome on the other side, it was just terrible, and I almost died on a machine.
It was as painful as when the airline charges extra money for having overweight luggage but doesn't pass it on to the hard worker.
When they didn't put the little sticker on it to say heavy bag and you lift it up and hurt your back. It was like that.
You know what? How about I get a sticker that says fragile? How about that? You know, in the South, people don't understand.
Why does no one want to put me on a carousel? In the South, you're handling baggage before you're walking.
So Catherine says, well, I've been hearing stuff that people put inside of my ear. and it was wrong for me to judge you, and I'm sorry.
It was like an elephant on my chest. Which doesn't even make sense, but
I like that she's alive. Trying to keep up with the Bravo tradition of random elephant things, though. She's like, ow, that elephant on my chest.
Can we talk about the elephant on my chest?
And Ashley is like, well, thank you. And you have balls, you know? Just talk, you know, just next time, just talk to me and don't make stuff up, okay? You know, I like her. She really swallowed her pride. That was really difficult for her, what she did. And then she goes, but this isn't a giant leap. And, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. She turns into a total bitch then.
Yeah. And Catherine's probably like, wait, I talked to Ashley? Damn, how wasted was I?
So Ash, notice that Ashley never apologizes, and Ashley was the one who said, well, I heard from the Botox lady that you're cheating on Lyle. I mean, that's the worst thing.
Yeah, that exactly. That's that a very dinner. Good point. That's a very good point. And very good point.
She never apologizes, and the smart thing, or at least we don't see it.
Yeah,
the smart thing Catherine does is not even expect it. You know?
Yes. She knows how to put out the fire. She's like, anyway, I got to leave town. All this stress about what's going to happen to my black couches, it is really doing a number on me. See ya in another town. Bye.
She doesn't even care. She's just like, please don't attack me at another dinner party.
Enjoy not being in the crossover scenes.
So everybody's in their car going over, and Catherine tells Hannah about the Ashley meeting, and she said, well, you know, it was weird because I've never had a conversation with her, and we had one. And Hannah's like, well, I did, but it didn't crush the drama. And I'm like, can we just crush the drama? And she's still mad. And Catherine says, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. We did crush it. And she goes, oh, well, I guess she got to play with nice Ashley.
Yeah, and I was not happy
that's
about
because
that.
That's because you expected... I'm so sorry. I think there was a spider on me. Oh, my God. Where's... Oh, it's Bueller. Bueller!
It's a dog.
I thought spider it was dog. Bueller's Same whisper. Difference. I'm so sorry, everybody. Oh. But that's because Catherine or Hannah is waiting for an apology for what Ashley did. And that's just not ever going to happen.
Yeah, and Catherine wasn't. And Catherine just didn't even care.
Yeah.
So then, speaking of Ashley, in her, she's evacuating with Nelson. They're driving up. And Nelson's talking about the night before. And he's like, you know, I just thought when I said that Yiddish word, I mean, it's just like, you know, it's like Donald Trump locker talk. You know, it doesn't mean anything. I'm like, you can't. Don't use the locker room talk. That is like the worst excuse ever. Locker room talk is not like acceptable. Like it's not. People do it. It doesn't make it mean it's right. Okay.
I mean, next people are going to say I shouldn't grab people by the pussy. I mean, hell damn no. That is egregious.
That's egregious. You know, I love putting my finger in pussies almost as much as I like putting in penises in it and then wiggling it around and stuff until I ejaculate like a good old heterosexual male does.
I wanted to say to Daniel that the only perfect person is Christ. But, you know, I thought maybe it wasn't good to say that to Daniel. Because, you know, Jewish. He's Jewish. You know,
see, I can't control myself, especially around the Jews.
I wouldn't say something like that to somebody who ain't in the debtor's club. Know what I mean?
And Ashley's like, oh my God, hun, I know you don't mean anything, but you really need to be careful with your words because we all have to be responsible in the South. Okay.
It's like an Arrested Development when Michael goes up to Tobias and is like, listen, what you got to do is you got to carry around a tape recorder and listen to things you say, okay? you got to make sure you know about the things you say.
Nelson goes,
well, it was uncouth with a capital U.
So they show up at Ashley's home, like where her mom's house, and they get there and Nelson, you know, he starts playing the piano. He's a and like and impressed the mom loves like, it.
Da 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 da. It's like a church hymn.
It was Ode to Joy.
Wait, was he playing Ode to Joy or is that in my head?
It was Ode to Joy.
I wrote
really
Hallelujah
was.
Over and over again.
Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Wait a second. That's
okay,
the mashup.
Yeah, I'm the dumb one. Handeltoven. So, there's creepy paintings in every southern house that we've every southern parent house that we've seen. It's like these creepy flowers in the attic painting of the kids. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I thought in that home was, oh my God, it's so clean. I figured
it felt gothic. It felt like a southern gothic home.
Yeah. And Nelson's like, well, I was glad for that damn evacuation. And he plays the piano, and he's like, well, despite what people think, my heart is not filled with hate. In fact, the antithesis. Well, the piano plays well.
What an egregious thing to say.
And the mom claps, and she's like, oh my God, for Christmas parties, you are in. And he goes, well, this piano plays well. It's the piano. It plays well. It's like attitude.
It's not that egregious.
He's like, okay, well, thanks for having me. I'm going to a more expensive home now, you fags.
Oh, Nelson. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So then over in Charlotte, the sock party is in full swing. And Louis is going around, you know, he's giving away the free socks. The same thing is like, yeah, this sock is inspired by Alexander McQueen. And, you know, somewhere across the ocean, Annabelle from Ladies of London is like, Alexander, they're killing him. He died, but he's being killed.
They're murdering him over and over at the sock hop.
So they're there. They're all like looking at the socks, and guess who shows up? Garsh, it's Shep here with the evacuation people. And they're like Syrian refugees. Oh, Garsh. God,
awkward. I feel like a refugee Syrian. Oh, Shep. Oh, Shep, Shep, Shep.
This feels wrong.
So Shep is trying really hard to be a bro with the other bros, which is odd because on Southern Charm, he's like, I'm just like, you know, I'm a bro. Like, I like to party, but I'm just like a boyish, foppish thing. And here he's like, bro. And he even had this like growlier voice. It's like, who are you? Mm-hmm. He's like, dude, I'm going to kill some deer with this shit. I'm going to kill some deer and shit with these on. Like,
you know, actually, my take on it was not that he was trying to be more bro, but this was like a guy who is an established celebrity, you know, like the big fish in the small pond. It actually came off to me like that. Like these guys are like, you know, they're friends or whatever, but they're on like the smaller reality show. And here I am, Shep, like one of the stars of the big reality show. And so to me, it actually read not even as cocky, but it just had that vibe, you know, the vibe of someone who is more famous than everyone else.
Yeah.
And that's how I read it. I was like, it's sort of weird to see, because you're right. The vibe with Shep was different than on Southern Charm.
Yeah, if he was like that on Southern Charm, I never would have liked him. Like he's kind of charming on that show. He was just gross on this one.
Yeah.
Like, and they're like, what are you even doing here,
look how fucking robust my
Shep?
Calves are. Garsh.
They're like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I got family here, bro, Garsh, bro, Garsh. I want a nephew or, you know, or maybe I should have a kid. Should I impregnate someone, bro?
Yeah.
And Dan tells Louis, Louis, you don't need to be doing a shot, okay, because you get too drunk. And the business partner, is Steven, what was his name?
I don't remember what the guy's name was.
The poor little guy who does all the work, and you can tell because he does the whole night. He's like, oh, God, please don't give him a shot. Please. Please don't give him a shot.
Lyle, meanwhile, was, like, having the best day ever. He was like, this is just like the old days. Hey, let's take some upskirt photos, guys.
Hey, I got some double-sided tape if anybody's got a mirror.
Come on, guys. Let's go grab it after this, guys. That's racist.
So the girls arrive to surprise the boys, and Hannah goes, you know, this is great. I'm so proud of Louis for going after something he's passionate about. Socks.
Actually, the cringeworthy moment for me came when, once everyone was there, Shep was talking to Lyle and Catherine, and I think Shep called them a power couple, and Lyle's like, yeah, we're like Jay-Z and Beyonce. I have nothing to say to that. It was a full groaner, as they say. I know a lot of people like to compare themselves to Jay-Z and Beyonce, but this is truly the biggest degradation
people,
of
it's
that.
Always people like this every time. Like, has anybody ever said we're like Jay-Z and Beyonce that you've gone, oh, they kind of are? you sell things for tanning salons. And Catherine doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Jay-Z and Beyonce kind of do a lot, okay? Just Catherine drinking lemonade really doesn't make you guys Jay-Z and Beyonce, okay?
I can't even imagine Catherine trying to fill the heels of Beyonce. She's like, who run the world?
I forgot.
Who? Wait, am I supposed to know the answer to that? I don't know, crabs?
Abraham Jefferson?
All the single ladies? all the single ladies, I don't know, like, go somewhere or, like, do something with your lives. Like, I don't care. I don't know.
So back over at Ashley's, Ashley's like, Mom, I love being home, Mom. You know, you're at home before you even learned to walk in the South. I'm even thinking of moving back in. Just kidding. And her mom's like, not again. Because, you know, Ashley has moved home like 20 times in her adulthood.
Yeah. And so once again, Ashley starts complaining about her mom. Like, she starts complaining about Dennis. She's like, I feel so alone and all this stuff. And her mom's like, well, you know, sometimes life is hard.
The mom's advice was so confusing. She said, well, honey, I understand that level of fatigue, but you need to continue to do the right thing. And, you know, look, sometimes being married young works. I mean, it works out like me and Daddy. But, you know, life is hard and you need to make choices. And you need to protect Isaac by not giving him harmful information. I'm like, what are you telling your daughter? What the hell are you saying?
Listen, honey, when I said that you should say bye to Dennis, not go to Dubai with Dennis, I think you got it all mixed up. So, yeah.
Listen. That's always been the problem, Ashley. Goodbye.
You don't listen. I just made her a hick. I forgot to mention, by the way, that when Lyle and Catherine were comparing themselves to Jay-Z and Beyonce, they then have like an interview moment where Lyle goes, Catherine goes for a refined man. And Catherine goes, such as himself.
Catherine.
Himself.
Catherine cracks me up every time.
I love her. She's my favorite.
Just her slowness. And that she's obviously got real hair, but it looks like a blonde wig. Like from the 80s. I just love it. I don't know why.
And then
but
she says things like his self.
And elephants on my chest. So the next morning, fire alarm.
This is the moment that's been like teased since the beginning of the show and since last week. And then like before the commercial break, like there's an emergency. And it's like, it's during the hurricane, 9 hours before the hurricane, there's an emergency fire alarm.
There's one fire truck outside. I think we're going to be fine, guys. But they all go outside.
What happened.
And Thomas is here, too, with his kids and his nanny.
Yeah.
And the guys just arrive outside and say bro a lot to each other. They're like, bro, bra, bro, bra, bro, 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 bra, bro, bro, bra.
Bra, bra, bro, bro, bra, 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 bro, bro. So, yeah, we see Shep and Austin. Austin starts chatting with Chelsea on FaceTime. It's just like a lot of cameos, but it's like not leading to anything, you know? It's like an episode of Empire.
Not a whole lot happens here. So let's go over to the bowling alley, shall we?
Yes. But before we do that, I do want to mention that Lyle farts in a car and that the girls get pedicures and they call Happy and that River Street is already underwater. And then Catherine's sister shows up and they're like, hi, Catherine's sister. Okay. So then we go. And then we go to the sock factory. And this one, Louis gives like a tour of the sock factory, and Louis, as they're driving over, Louis's like, oh, he's like, sorry, Daniel, I'm not sure you can go into the sock factory. These are like important people, and I'm not sure you can go in because you got that long hair. This is for serious people. And they get there, it's like in a shack. I mean, not a shack, it's a factory, but it's like, this is not like walking into Moramax, okay? This is like a place with like aluminum siding. They go in, and they look at socks. Okay, so now...
Yeah, pretty much. He's like, guys, I've told you about my love for socks. I've told you about the need for socks. I showed you guys how to speak to the socks. Like, okay, that's enough now, idiot. So, bowling. Let's go girls versus boys. Thomas is there. Everybody's there. Bowling. Shep is there. And Catherine takes Thomas aside, drunk, as always, of course.
Right. And this is like, Catherine with a C, not Catherine with a K. Yes. She's not there.
Like, so, you know, I've been dating this guy for, I forgot, long time. And he's like, where is he? Of course, that's Thomas's question. Well, where is he? And she's like, oh, he's over there.
Damn. You know,
no problem. What's your name again? So much pressure. And then Thomas's advice, his drunken advice, he's like, well, if you have any conflicts with your mind and heart and emotion you struggle with, how's your vagina feel? She's like, marriage scares me. I fear of failing. Well, you know what it's like. And he says, fear of failure often has the opposite effect.
Yeah.
What are these people even talking about?
By the way, if we were in Charleston, your last name would be pronounced Koopa. Koopa. Like Super Mario Brothers or Super Koopa Troopa. You know what I'm saying? She's like, it's Cooper with a C and an R and some letters in between, which I still don't know.
Now, but before I sexually harass you further, I need to make sure you're not a limehouse, are you, girl?
Because I know that Eliza Limehouse and she owns an abattoir underneath my bridge. So then all of a sudden, like, a hurricane report comes on TV and they're like, oh my God, it's a hurricane. We could be losing everything.
Yeah. And then they go on the way back and they're all in the car and Louis eats a 4-day-old chicken salad.
That's been sitting in the car. I mean, and they all think when he opens it up, they all thought he farted because they could smell it. And he still went and ate like a bite. It was like, ugh. It was disgusting.
And Lyle calls Hannah's car and he's like, how much gas y'all have? And Hannah's like, I guess enough. And Lyle's like, well, Catherine's got a massive amount of gas. Oh,
that's a Lyle original right there.
And nice fart joke episode of Southern Charm Savannah. I love that we go from like racial deep discussions to farting for half an episode.
That's what we love about Bravo. And then it ends with them getting back into town and a tree fell over right next to Daniel's house. And like, wow, that could have been Daniel's car. Wow, this is real, hacking. Guys.
They're so
this is
ridiculous. Real. There's one tree down.
This is real, man. Shit just got real. I'm like, listen, real world Key West was dealing with the hurricanes 10 years ago. Okay? They were in Hurricane Fran or whatever it was called. Fiona. What was the name of that hurricane? Rita? Hurricane Rita. It was a jazzy little hurricane that wore sequins. We've seen this before.
No one needs a Fran hurricane.
Mr. Sheffield.
Blowing down trees in Fran Drescher's wake.
Was it Hurricane Rita? It was like the number two. But remember, there was Hurricane Katrina and then like Rita came up right behind her. Anyway.
You know what? I don't pay attention to hurricanes and stuff.
I know. I didn't even remember Hurricane Matthew, and that was like 6 months ago, whenever it was.
Yeah, when I lived in Florida, there were hurricanes. I mean, I was only there, and I think there were two or three that we had to like lock ourselves in, and everybody has these storm things that they pull down, and then mm-hmm. you just sit inside and play Scrabble with somebody's mom for a day, and it goes away. I mean, I personally love hurricanes.
Well, I remember certain hurricanes. I remember growing up, I remember Hurricane Gloria. It's like Hurricane Gloria. Hurricane Gloria came to New York, and I remember the trees blowing. Was it Hurricane Milo or something like that, where everyone was like, oh, Hurricane Hugo. Everyone was like, Hurricane Hugo, everyone. And it was literally sunny the entire day. And then Hurricane Andrew was a big one. That was a big Florida one. And then obviously Katrina and obviously Rita and then Sandy, Hurricane Sandy was, well, Superstorm Sandy. But I don't really remember the other hurricanes very well.
I remember because she was in Greece.
Well, Sandy was a big one. Okay, I know we're ending the show, but like, I have to tell this story because for me, it's like the funniest thing ever. I went to college with a girl named Fen Shen, and her first name was Fen, her last name was Shen. And she was this girl with this, like, big frizzy hair, and she'd come in, she's like, hey guys! And it always was like, she was like this big personality, sort of a small girl with big personality. And one time, like 7 years ago, there was a typhoon in Asia, and the typhoon was called Fen Shen, and I could not stop laughing because imagine if there was a hurricane named like Hurricane Ronnie Karam. Like, it's specifically it's not just like your first name, it's your full name. Like, Hurricane Ronnie Karam is coming to America, and the fact that it was Fen Shen of all people with her frizzy hair, and there's a typhoon called Hurricane Fen Shen.
Yeah, that's where you know that Fen Shen, like the meteorologist just knew Fen Shen.
Yeah, so someone at the Bureau of Typhoon Naming was like, oh, that girl, the 2001 at Dartmouth, yeah, let's give her a hurricane or typhoon. But anyway, it is the end of the week, and we're done with Southern Charm Savannah. However, we do have the Crappens mailbag, so let's get into that a little bit, shall we?
Let's do it, Ben.
All right. The Crappin's mailbag is our feature where you can write in questions and we'll read them on the air. You go to patreon.com/watchthecrappins and sign up there and come do it. It's really fun. We love the questions. And it's really cool, especially when we get new people getting, you know, like asking their questions, because new people ask different sort of questions. Okay. So Catherine, spelled like Catherine from Southern Charm, Savannah, says, I'm bored. Can you please reenact Ramona telling African animals to get a job? We had like a bit one time a few years ago. I don't remember what episode it was, where we went on a tear where we somehow we got to a place where Ramona was talking to animals and telling them to get jobs. And it somehow has become.
Talking about, she's like, I love going on safari. Okay. Like, it's amazing. You know, you go to Africa and you're like, hi, elephant.
Hi, elephant. What are you up to today? Why are you sitting there walking around? Why don't you do something with your life, elephant? Why don't you join a circus, okay?
You know, look over there. It's a zebra. What? No, it's a zebra. That's how I call it.
Whoa, this is crazy. When I see those zebra stripes, I'm reminded of when I was a little girl. And it was July 4th. We went to see fireworks. And I wanted to salute the flag and said, this is for the stars and stripes. And Geraldine Parsons Smith said, no, you cannot desecrate the flag like that. That's not America you're saluting. That's just a Ben and Jerry sign. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. To this day, I can't look at zebras or ice cream.
I just love Ramona being on one of those those tour buses. Like, oh my God, is that a horse? It's like, no, Ramona. Why does that horse look like that? That's the craziest horse I've ever seen. Seriously. It's like black and white. It's like striped. It's like a striped horse. That's nuts.
Who painted the horse? That's not right. Who painted it? Who painted it? Who painted it? Whoa, look at that vacuum cleaner. That's a crazy vacuum cleaner. It's so big. What do you need a big vacuum cleaner? Is that like an industrial vacuum cleaner? No, it's an elephant, Ramona. What? That's crazy. That's a vacuum cleaner.
That's an elephant. That's how I say it, okay?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But that nose is too long. It's day class A. I'm sorry. You know what that elephant needs to do? It needs to go get a job. It should go on a cruise liner. It should go entertain people. You know, those cruise liners, a lot of people on them. A lot of floors need to be vacuumed. So the elephant should go on a cruise. And they could vacuum up the floors for everyone. And everyone could be happy. The elephant will have a job. And the people will have a dust-free floor. Okay?
Okay. All right, what else is in there, Ben?
Rebecca Shack. Rebecca says, Rebecca's one of our crap in the spotlight ladies. She says, looks like the White House communications director position is open. Which housewife do you think would be best for the position? I'm leaning towards Shannon Bedore. Donald.
The press position?
Yeah, who would be a good like Sean Spicer replacement
One of the best things that Sean Spicer is doing is highlighted very well by Melissa McCarthy, which is just getting super angry. Because you know, the press guy has to go out there and just stand up and say whatever they tell him. These poor things. And we haven't had a good chance for them to not have to lie in years and years and years, you know? They have to go out there and just spout all these lies and stuff. And I think that Sean Spicer's defensiveness is beautiful and amazing to watch and hilarious. So I hope that Shannon would bring that with her. And if someone's like, well, you know, what do you say about allegations that Ivanka helped China out and then they passed her a bunch of copyrights? And she could be like, how dare you? How dare you? What is your name? What is your name? Well, listen here, Miss 42-year-old. Let me tell you what you don't understand. Do you know how hard getting a copyright is? Do you? Do you know?
Shannon, you know what Shannon would do if she were at that podium? She would just do this.
Okay, David, do you understand that people, because those people are, that guy is, that, no, this husband is, no, they're being horrible to me.
That's what she would do. The press, David. I actually can't imagine any Bravo personality that would be bad at it. Like, I was just thinking, like, my mind always goes to New York City first, Real Housewives in New York City. And almost all of them, maybe not Carol, but almost all of them would be brilliant in their own way. Because you have Bethany be like, so like, what's the matter? Like, what's going on? Like, what's the matter? China with copyrights? Like, big deal. Made in China. It's like everything's made in China. Like, you think skinny girls made in the United States? It's not. Like, whatever. Like, honestly, I can't deal. Like, honestly, like, just like palm me under like a sack of fortune cookies. Like, honestly, I can't deal. Like, honestly, like, be quiet. She would do that. You would have Luann being like, would you believe it? You're talking about China again? I'm getting married in 2 weeks. Why would you say such a thing? You know? Dorinda would just like lay into it. Hey, you want to talk about China? Why don't we talk about your bad manners? I invited you here. I made you all cake. I did it nice.
Let's talk about what he did to my China when he disrespected it. I put out China on the kitchen counter. You cut my China and you treated it like it was a paper plate.
You know, I think I'd like to see Ray from New York City be the White House spokesman. Who told you about China, bitch? Who? No. You're just trash. You're trash. Oh, my God. I'm shaking in my socks right now. Oh, my God. I miss you, Glenn. I miss you. Shaking my socks. Who?
Sir, a lot of people are asking if your foundation is phony. What do you have to say?
I have a foundation. It helps rich people. It helps rich people. A piece of who, bitch?
A piece of who? I think Stassi would also be really good. She would either, because she would either be like, I don't know what your problem with China is, but I'll take a Pinot Grigio. Like, collusion AF. Am I right? Who does that?
It's so funny. All right, anything else in there, Bian?
There's more, but let's save it for next week.
Well, let's do that, everybody. Thank you so much for coming on over to Watch What Crappens. We sure love you. Have a great weekend over there.
Yeah, for reals, yo. Wow, Ronnie, this was a fun week. It was in the beginning, we were tired, we were sluggish, and I find it odd that somehow we found the energy to go the whole week long.
You know, good old racism argument is always is always good for your energy at the end of the week.
That's right. Start by talking about Charisse on Monday and racism on Friday. We've done our jobs. And a little talk about McDonald's in the middle.
I know. We talked about it a long time ago, but just please start your weekend the way that you started your week with us. Fafa!
I find it odd that my weekend is starting. That's, I think, my new favorite thing of all time. Yeah, I find it odd.
The Fafa mystery. Everybody, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye, everyone.